Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, welcome to this edition of the Play Big Movement podcast. I'm Sharon Lecter, your host, and today I get to introduce an old friend that I've known for a long time. He's not old. He's just been a friend for a few years. So Lee Benson, thank you so much for being here.
Sharon, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, we met, I think, through Elaine Rawls, a mutual friend. And years ago, you stepped up. We started our Thrive Time Challenge in 2012. And you were one of our very first people to say, I will support that. And you were one of the initial contributors to that initiative. So for that, I want to say thank you again. So all these years later, we share a passion for education and certainly for financial education. In fact, your latest book is all about teaching our kids value and about money. So, but your history, oh my gosh, very few people can say that they've had the success that you've had. Your first, you built a company to a nine-figure exit from one employee to, I think, to over 500, if I remember correctly. And in that, you establish systems on how to create the value and how to scale and how to grow significantly. And you have gone on to share that through subsequent companies. And so there are companies all over the world that are using your format, your system. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel really good. This whole concept of value creation within organizations of any type or size, is something that I think is a bit misunderstood. So when they use what I call the MIND methodology, which stands for most important number and drivers, it's about creating value in three different buckets. It's material value. So it's cash flow, it's profit, it's all of that, it's things, but it's also emotional energy value and it's spiritual value. And it's value for all stakeholders in that way. And it's true value, not virtue signaling and talking about those things. It's really creating that stuff.
Yeah, I love it. You had an entire system of really assessment for employees where they could participate, and there were standards and there were goals set, and it was participatory, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, everybody should own their stuff. And what you're referring to are a lot of tools in the methodology that we have available. But ultimately, we want everybody intrinsically motivated to create more value. And ideally, everybody's acting like the CEO of their own role. And it was pretty cool to see over 500 employees and the vast majority of them really acting like the CEO of their own role. They're two steps ahead at any time you go meet with them where you thought they would be. And it's just an energizing and incredible conversation. And I'm actually on my seventh company I've started from scratch, and I have had exits from a few million to into nine figures. And this is what's helped me do it. And when I think about value creation on the material side, I've done well, that's fantastic. And I think there's a lot more to come with all the stuff that I'm doing today. But if I was going to pick one of the three buckets where I believe I've got a stronger, sense of value creation and what I contribute to the world, it's all in the emotional energy area, passionately talking about what's possible in productive ways to get there. That's infectious. And it just brings teams along. How does that resonate with you, Sharon, when you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the internal driver, the inspiration, the motivation. It has to come from within. And if you don't create an environment that really feeds that and ignites it, then you're not living to your potential. I love that. So, and I think, obviously your success it basically speaks for itself. But what I love to do when I do these podcasts is I ask my guests to talk about their beginnings, literally, because I know on top of all of your business success, you're a martial artist, you're an incredible musician, Tell us about the beginning, Little League.
Well, I would say that my career started pulling weeds for 25 cents an hour when I was 6, 7 years old. And I had a neighbor unsolicited approach me, say, hey, would you be willing to do this? And sure, I'll do that. Because back then, to date myself, you could buy 2 candy bars and have change. It was fantastic. And then I thought, well, that's really hard work. What else could I do? And I grew up in Spokane, Washington. So I started shoveling snow in the wintertime. We had a lot of snow back then, and I would get 50 cents. So it took me about 30 minutes to do a driveway and a sidewalk. I just fourfolded my money. And then I got a paper out, and I had 4 paper outs. And then I was a dishwasher, busboy, cook. And what I learned here is that I would struggle to get a capability. I built my confidence, and I would use that to create value. And it was this whole world I could completely trust. I'm trading my best efforts for the accumulated best efforts of neighbors and eventually a restaurant. And in the 1980s, I played over 1,000 nights in clubs playing music. I played guitar and sang, and it's how I made most of my money back then. And I just learned to really trust the struggle, and that I could trust it, it couldn't be friends and family. It had to be the real world, people that didn't know me, that saw enough value to actually pay for a product or service that I was delivering. And I just built on that. So starting from 25 cents an hour pulling weeds, you know, I went on this value creation sort of struggle cycle. And that led to the first business, the second business. And no matter how hard it got and all the times most people would think you're going to fail, I just knew I wouldn't because of that journey. And I was actually kicked out of the house at the beginning of my senior year in high school. I came from a very low income family and lots of struggles, a couple of parents that struggled to raise themselves, unfortunately, and, you know, let alone the 5 kids. But this whole other world of value creation, and I certainly couldn't articulate it back then, it saved me and it created all of this. Does that make sense? I mean, how that could actually happen?
Well, I want to underline, you said, trust the struggle. And also not to, you know, lean on family and relations, but to look at it through a third party, because it's kind of an independent source. I so agree with that. And I think one of our problems we have today are people want things too easy. They don't, you know, when the going gets tough, they go, oh, well, next, what else can I do that's easy? So mm-hmm. I think embracing the struggle, trusting that struggle is such a huge message. And I often say, be the CEO of your own life. So you're talking about being the CEO of your own world. So we're basically singing a very similar song. You sing much better than I do, however. So, but your determination, you know, there's always, we talk about, there's no success without a few setbacks along the way. So, and part of that is having that, embracing the struggle, but also having that definite purpose we talk about in the book, Outwitting the Devil. So talk a little bit about your inner drive. And I think you share it is value creation in anything and everything you do. Mm-hmm. But how do you feed it?
Yeah, my reason for being here, purpose, whatever you want to call it, really is promoting this idea of value creation within organizations, within families, within children. And to that end, when I was successful accomplishing challenging things as a kid, it built my internal sort of intrinsic motivation. My self-esteem rose. And as I kept going through, again, this value creation struggle cycle that I described, all of that kept building. And there was nothing I couldn't accomplish. By the time I was 20, and I'd seen a lot of my parents' friends that were in their 50s, 60s, and life did not work out very well for them at all. And I said, I don't want to be that. And I just had this thing in my mind that I want to start at least 5 things that any one of them will maintain the lifestyle I want in retirement financially. But that's not everything, right? It's not just about money. Money doesn't make you happy just in itself. So it's got to be a fulfilled life and all of it. But I need to support whatever that lifestyle is. So I've now started 6 things that all generated enough to maintain the lifestyle. And I'm on my 7th one. So all of that worked out, but it started back then. And the motivation came from just the intrinsic motivation and fulfillment that came from accomplishing challenging things and making it happen. And boy, did I have a lot of failures along the way too. And that's okay. It's totally okay. Yeah. It's necessary, I think.
I say failures or mistakes are not definitions, they're just occurrences. They happen, you learn from them, and you keep going on. So you've written several books, but I would love for you to talk a little bit about Value Creation Kid that just came out this year. So tell us a little bit about your hope for it, what you think. You know, I talk about parents should be mentors, not enablers, and there are too many parents who are enablers out there. They don't give the kids an opportunity to experience failure and rebound on their own. So I think I'd love to hear more about the book.
Yeah, the title Value Creation Kid is great, but I think the subtitle really speaks to what the book's about, which is the healthy struggles your children need to succeed. And every parent wants their kid to be a very successful adult when they launch them out of high school into adulthood. What they're not doing intentionally most of the time is working backwards from what does that look like. And, you know, from my view, they should be self-reliant, critically thinking, financially competent, if they want to be, even like I was, be financially independent. They value family and community, and they realize the purpose of an education is to create value in the world in those three buckets: material, spiritual, emotional, energy value. And everything is win-win value creation. That's the kind of adult that I want launching out of high school. So how do you work backwards from that? And so my hope with the book, with my co-author, Scott Donnell, is that more families will be super intentional about that. And it's almost like putting their kid through an adult boot camp. You know, as soon as you can start, the better. When they come home from the hospital after being born, be around those conversations, start absorbing it, and let them go through the struggles. It's okay. I was speaking in Dallas yesterday to a large group of business owners, and it was about my other book, the Mind Methodology, or Your Most Important Number. And I said, oh, by the way, if you want to do this in your family, here's a great book for that, Value Creation Kid. Well, a few of them already got the book, all told at least five friends, and they're all working together implementing this stuff. And the hope is, again, that they operationalize value creation in the family, the environment from which the children learn to discover their value creation superpowers. And it's not a motivational nudge system. Read this book, look at that video, take this course, play this game. That doesn't work for over 80% of kids. It doesn't work for adults either. They don't connect the dots. And so the goal here is, let's really connect the dots to everything you learn is about creating more value in the world. It can be applied to create more value. And again, it's not just money. And take them on this journey. And again, work backwards from when they're going to graduate high school into adulthood. That's the goal. So I would love to have this in the next 3 to 5 years being applied in at least a million middle and low income families across the country. And I'm tracking a number of them right now. And it's so exciting to hear the stories.
I love that. So much of my audience has heard me talk about the fact that I was raised by a father that would ask me every night, Sharon, have you added value to someone's life today? Mm-hmm. So it's exactly, you know, the same messaging from a standpoint of if we all focused on adding value to the world, it would be a whole different world that we're living in today. Unfortunately, we have too many people that just want to take and that want to give and add value. So I love that. But you're not just writing books about it. You actually have an initiative in the education space. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, to support the book, we have workshops and webinars, courses, things that you can take as a parent to learn more about this stuff. And you can go to dinnertable.com to learn about it. So we're taking this out. We just started a few months ago with this. And, you know, my guess is we'll be in more than a million families by the end of next year, just because of that initiative alone. So that's value creation in the family. And then on top of it, when you get into K-12 education, it's very frustrating to, you know, go to school board meetings or go to the state legislatures, and it's all adults fighting over money 95% of the time. And if the kids are lucky, they get 5% of the focus. And so we have a, you know, a couple of nonprofits in Arizona that I'm actively involved with. One is A for Arizona, and it's all about creating better conditions for our K-12 students to learn. And the where they're not connecting the dots goes back to something I said earlier. The purpose of an education is to create value in the world, not get a good grade, get a diploma, get a degree, get a job. In the current system, most of the kids are doing what they think they're supposed to do, and we're not connecting the dots for them. But if we could start out saying the purpose is to create value in the world, here's the three macro buckets. Now, over time, they can discover what their value creation superpowers are and where they want to play, how they want to contribute to it. So that's really my goal. And I don't want to say I've given up on K-12 education and the current machine that's out there, but it's really entrenched where adults are fighting over the money and forgetting about the kids. So that's why Scott and I wrote the book, so we can just go directly into the families and then they can drive the change in the K-12 system. I think that's going to be a lot more effective.
Well, I can share with you my experience of, you know, I used to have red hair. It's white because I've been working with a school system. So it does take forever to get anything changed. And so, yes, that's why we ended up doing our Thrive Time Challenge outside the school system, going into the schools as a supplement. It is, but you don't give up, because we know that that's what our purpose is. And so we figure the best way to get to the kids is outside the school system, unfortunately, but hopefully that'll change someday. So Lee, tell people how they can find more about Lee and about the book.
A great place to go would be our website, which is etw.com. And you can learn a lot about myself, the services that we provide, the books, et cetera. And please, you know, get on the bandwagon here around this value creation movement journey, if you will. And I agree with what you said, Sharon, we can never give up. It's like two sides pushing, one creating value and one side sucking value out of the world. And we can never stop. And I think the challenge is, how do we stay happy warriors? Don't let us take us down, or don't let it take us down emotionally. And I'll always be in the fight and recruit as many people as I can to do this. But yeah, go to etw.com. That's where you can learn all about what I'm doing.
Well, I just want everybody to understand the incredible gift you are to the world and to the people, and the fact that you could sit back and never work again because you've been so successful, but you have this passion, and I just want to applaud you and let me know of anything we can do to support you in that effort. And I look forward to seeing the success of Value Creation Kid, and we will certainly make sure we share information in the show notes so that people can access it and find out more about it. So thank you so much for being with me today.
All right. Thank you, Sharon. It was great to be with you.
And he's going to stay with me for another recording for the private Facebook group. So if you're not part of that, please go join. It's called the Play Big Movement Facebook group with Sharon Lecter. And we go a little deeper into setbacks and into personal habits. So check in with us in the private Facebook group, okay? So you guys are fabulous, fantastic day, and thank you for listening to this episode of the Play Big Movement podcast. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.